Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Steve.
Good to talk to you guys.
Good to be here.
I'm really doing well. And, you know, I'm going to give something to my assistant, Chanel, here while I am saying this is the day we want to talk to you about life recovery. Life recovery is for anybody, and anybody can benefit from life recovery. We all got struggles. Some it's addiction, some it's food, some it's depression. There's a way. It's your way. It's God's way. It's a path that can help you get better. And unlike other Christian recovery approaches, you know, that mandate everything be about them for them, we have a Bible, and we want you to use that Life Recovery Bible. But you can incorporate and integrate other things that you've benefited from into that. This is where God is the higher power. Jesus Christ is the recognized as the highest power. And, you know, a lot of Christians, they say they're Christians, but they've never made Jesus the higher power in their life. If you want to start a life recovery group, call Reba at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's a leader's guide. There's a starter kit. It really could be everything you were ever looking for in a group because you started it and you get to make the choices about it. Dave and I can't believe, you know, the 25th anniversary of Life Recovery Bible publication is this year. And we're celebrating 25 years and 2.5 million Bibles that have sold out there and given to prisoners and all sorts of great, wonderful things. So call us.
And I like what you said, all to promote Jesus as the highest power.
Well, exactly.
I mean, that's Steve.
Really, how can you recover when you don't know who the source of recovery is? And it's all right here, and we're blessed to be part of it. Hey, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Angela. Start out right off the bat here, Chicago, Illinois. Angela on 91.7. Hi, how are you? What's going on?
Hi, I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so my question is, can I use my children as leverage to get my mother-in-law to go to rehab? She is a prescription pill addict. I guess she has been for about 18 years, according to my husband. And it's uppers, downers, and everything in between. During the day, I think it's mostly Adderall and other stuff. And at night, it's trazodone and other things to get her off the high. We've suspected this, and she's visited us several times over the past 2 years. And finally, this past time, we looked through her stuff and found hidden pills, like 10 different types of prescription pills.
So Angela, we have the evidence. Angela, just to be clear, she's using this not how the doctor has prescribed.
Absolutely not. It's drug abuse.
Okay.
100%. And so she's already been cut off by my husband's brother and his wife and isn't allowed to see their children because of this reason. And we've been, it's been hard for us. We're believers. We want to offer grace and love, which we do, but we also need, at this point, we need to get her to rehab. And I just don't know if it's the right thing to do to say, if you don't go, you're not going to see your grandkids. I don't know if there's another way. That's kind of what I wanted to call and ask about your opinion on that.
I think there is another way, something else that you can do, because clearly all of the other siblings have tried that tactic and it hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So okay. We want to do something that's effective.
Hold on.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I know, Jill, you're ready to go here on this. What do you think?
And Dave was just echoing the same thing. I think you have to do something different. If what people have tried is not working, then you do something different. I think you can use your children as leverage, but in a different way. I would have each of your children start by writing out something to grandma. Start with how much they love her, and then what they observe and how much it hurts them and what they would like her to do. And I think each person needs to do that. And if you can draw on as many family members as possible, that is the start of forming an intervention. And I think she needs an intervention where she hears the love and she also hears the impact of her behavior and the fear that you all have for her and that you would like her to get help. And that you present to her the plan for her getting help. And that if she chooses to seek the help, that you will all be right there with her. And I would even appeal to maybe the other siblings and say, would you re-engage with her if she got help? And hold that out as a reward.
Well, I would also get the other siblings to write
well,
letters.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. And to be a part of that as much as possible.
And the only time you would say we cut off contact with you is if she refuses and mm-hmm. you need some leverage. But you need to really hear what Jill is saying. It's done out of love and concern, not out of threat.
Right.
The threat is saved for the last ditch effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can get someone to help you, facilitate it. But when you meet with her, you read the letters. Right? Because so they've already, people have already written it out so that they know what they're going to say and, if they've had to rework it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then when you're there, it can be very emotional. So then you read the letters and it shows that you've really put some thought into this. This isn't people just, ganging up on her.
And it's all about people care about you mm-hmm. and it's time. Now's the time. People care. Now's the time. We love you. Now's the time. And yeah, I would just I'd be as redundant as possible on people really love you. Look at these mm-hmm. letters. Here it is. We got it all here. And now's the time.
You know what I would do too, Angela, is I would contact the rehab center, the treatment center, where you think you want her to go and talk to them and ask them if they have an interventionist that can help you set up the meeting. Because it's you want to really do mm-hmm. your best in a one shot deal. You don't
right.
want to. You can practice and then do it again, but it's best if it's done right the first time. And
mm-hmm.
it's
somebody
not,
who's not emotionally involved can
right.
help. That's
and
what the facilitator
they
does.
They practice with you, and then
yeah.
then you're on your own, and mm-hmm. it makes a world of difference in being effective.
We never want children or grandchildren to be pawns, but that doesn't mean that they can't help in influencing mm-hmm. someone.
Right.
And that's really the goal.
One
and
of the,
Yeah.
One of the things they write is how her addiction has hurt them.
Yeah.
Your grandchildren,
specifics.
How that's hurt them. A specific example, and each one does a specific example, and your siblings do the same thing, and say that's why we've cut you off if they've cut them off. And
yeah, Grandma, when we see you staggering, it scares us, or when you slur your words, or when you seem so spacey and out of it, right?
Yeah.
We don't feel safe around you.
Yeah.
Those types
All right, and the things you say are scarier than the things you do, probably.
And let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, Atlanta, Georgia, Wynn from listening on the internet. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay, hanging in there.
All right, what's going on?
I've been married for 25 years, and it just seems like the enemy has been after my marriage for 25 years. And so here I am again, facing my husband, telling me he doesn't want to be married anymore.
Oh, boy.
Because we have nothing in common. And, you know, I just don't know whether, you know, to throw in a tarot with him or to keep fighting for the marriage, because it really seems like this time he's really shut, you know, put up his wall.
Now, let me make one thing clear. Is part of the things that you don't have in common someone he's having an affair with? How confident are you about that? That's important.
That's the first question to ask yourself, because it's right on.
And so you're not convinced that he's not having an affair. That's what you're saying, right?
No. I mean, I don't know.
You don't know.
I know he shut himself off from me. Mentally, physically, sexually, everything.
Okay.
That's often what a man says when he's having an affair. That's why Steve said it, and I was going to say it if he didn't say it. And Jill would probably say it if neither one of us said it.
So,
Well, and yeah, because so, this time you said he sounds serious. So before, it seemed like you guys were able to keep trying, but this time he's not.
Well, we had separated 2 years ago. Then we got back together. And now another 2 years has passed, and we're in the same boat. And what it is, we just keep hurting each other. I mean, he'll hurt me, I'll hurt him. It's back and forth. But he won't mention that if we have nothing in common. So.
One of the things that's probably a problem in this dynamic that you've created is he feels like he's everything to you, and you may have made him a big priority in your life, and then you feel like you're nothing to him, and you probably aren't a priority in his life. And so one way to change that dynamic is for you to start living a different life.
Okay.
Have you thought about some things that you've always wanted to do or needed to do, but you just never have done them?
Not really.
No.
But you
I think it's time. I mean,
so
have you ever,
right, because whether you're in the marriage or out of the marriage, you still have to work on you.
Yeah. What would you do if you were went through a divorce and it was final, and then what would you begin to do at that point to rebuild your life?
Yeah. What would be different?
Do that now without doing a divorce. Just say, how am I going to make my life different and more meaningful, and not make him at the center? And it's amazing what happens sometimes when a spouse does that, because it changes the dynamic of the relationship without doing it overtly.
Wow, that's exactly what I've been doing.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
That's what you've been trying to do?
No, this is what I've been doing. I've been living for my husband, for my kids, and then, you know, trying too hard, I guess.
Sadly, when it can make you boring. Right?
Just say it, Jill.
Well, sorry to be blunt.
No, but
it can
that's
make
really
you
that's
not,
true. That's
not,
so true.
You know, and you want to create some fun and some mystique and, you know, some things that are attractive. And when you start not needing him so much for your every, you know, source of anything, and you start to have other interests outside of him, it's you starting. It may feel like you're starting to move away, but really you're just enlivening yourself. That's attractive.
And when you do start to move away, but well, that's
you
attractive
do,
too.
But you're moving away still within the marriage.
Within the marriage, yeah.
But it's like when you are so focused on the other person and all of your needs are just their needs, it's like you lose your identity. You lose your substance. You lose anything that makes you, you know, uniquely you.
And I have done that.
Right. It's an easy thing to do because family takes a lot of effort.
So sometimes a coach, sometimes a recovery sponsor, there are many different sort of therapists, of course, of getting you to see some opportunities, take advantage of that locally, classes, things that you want to develop, hobbies. I think you might be shocked at what could happen in you feeling alive again.
Yeah, it even works for me with my kids since I'm not married, you know, when I'm always there for them, you know, they're not very interested. And as soon as I make plans and I'm not there and I'm doing other things, they're like, Mom, where are you? Why aren't you here? What's going on? It's good. It spices things up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I hope that's helpful.
I really think that.
You really think what? You think you've lost him already. Well,
no,
you never
Do it anyway.
Do this anyway because you have nothing to lose then if you've already lost him. If you start becoming interesting, he's going to be curious because even if he's having an affair, you know, he hasn't left yet, right? Yep. And so until it's final, it's, you know, there's still hope.
You know, these are the folks that if they could somehow just come, please come to one of our intensives, like
know.
The marriage intensive. These are the cases that we specialize in.
Well, and you know why, Steve? Because I really hear that they lack compassion for one another. I mean, she probably has more compassion for him than he has for her, but they don't really see each other. They've ceased to really be a couple. And our weekends help people to recouple.
Yep.
And it's a wonderful thing.
And we've seen miracles of couples who are on the verge of divorce and some who are already divorced put it back together.
Well, you can support all of that, you know, by supporting us, by sponsoring somebody, by saying, hey, let me get a scholarship. You really can change a person's life because this whole ministry is about transformation. We love to see people transform, not feel better or whatever, you know. But the whole thing gets redone. That's what we want to see happen. All right, let's go to, how about, it's Cynthia from Boston, Massachusetts, watches us on the NRB Network. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for your time and your wisdom today.
You're welcome.
So I've been married for about 18 years, and I would say through the whole 18 years, it's been a roller coaster marriage. Now the marriage, about a year ago, there's been an adulterous violation. And even up to now, he wants to continue to interact with me both sexually and as well as conversational-wise.
And do you let him do that?
I feel like I used to, but then I stopped because I was feeling that maybe there was hope that, you know, we were going to work it out, but I'm not seeing no signs of anything to indicate that he wants to work it out. Asking for a divorce before this happened and even after it happened.
So what I'm understanding is he's still in the affair, but he's also wanting to continue on with you, so he wants both.
Yeah.
Oh, separate, that's an adulterous man's
dream. He wants his cake and eat it, too.
Okay.
Yes.
But because you're not willing.
I'm wanting to walk away. And when I don't answer calls, when I don't answer text or whatever text calls, then I get this reaction from him, like he's the victim and he's upset.
Yeah.
Where am I? Why haven't I answered him? I always have my phone next to me. Just, you know, acting like he's the husband.
Wow.
I mean, mind me, no disrespect. He's the husband, you know, calling to the document, but not act-wise.
So,
and I feel like this has been something I've been dealing with for a whole 18 years.
Wow.
Not the adulterous, but the roller coaster marriage, the control, the manipulation. you know, the abuse.
So
and
it's
I've forgiven him.
Why?
I've forgiven him for the affair. Wanted to work out. Well, because I'm a believer. We met in the church. You know, we've been walking, you know, in the faith for years.
But is he still, if he's still in the,
I don't know about his surrender.
If he's still in the affair, then it's hard to forgive something that's ongoing. You can't forgive something that's ongoing.
You simply excuse it.
For me?
Not forgive it.
For me to forgive?
Right. The affair is not in the past, though.
But I'm still
tormented. It's not in the past. It's going on currently. So there, you can't forgive something that's going on currently. Well, you're excusing it instead of forgiving it because it's not in the past. You forgive something that's in the past, not something where someone's continuing to hurt you and disrespect you. Forgiving that is just allowing them to continue in that.
You may say, I want to forgive him, but I'm not, I can't.
No, I disagree. I forgive him. And I say that because I really do. I really forgive him. I have grace from God to forgive him. So when I say I forgive him, I forgive him. Now, the part I'm getting hung up on is...
Hold on a second. We'll do it right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. We're talking with Cynthia. Just want to make the point here. Literally, forgiving, even though it's genuine forgiveness, too soon can be enabling. It can be excusing. It can have that impact on the other person. It can cause us, if we move to forgiveness too soon, to expect nothing of the other person. And then they sense that and they don't do it.
Right.
I don't want to cause unneeded resentment, but it can be a problem to go to that place too soon.
And yet it sounds like, Cynthia, your behavior is, you know, starting to set some limits with him.
Yeah.
You know, I had off air, I was telling Dave some thoughts I had, you know, with this guy. When he's upset that you're not answering, I might say, well, when you're not committed to our marriage in a monogamous way, I'm not committed to answering your calls or... Right, that there's a direct relationship to his behavior. You know,
well, the only thing that I've seen over in all the years I've been working with couples like that in that situation is when the wife says, "As long as she's in your life, I'm out."
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's a good one.
If you don't have that attitude, then, I mean, he's got it made. He's got two women to take care of. And
right. Well, because he has to feel that abandonment loss, yeah. right? He has to feel a tug back towards. And
there's
you know,
a part of him that doesn't want to lose the marriage.
Well, right.
And you gotta
right. He wants both.
Stir that up, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part you have to play into.
And it's counterintuitive for women because we think when we're in a man's presence and when they're with us, that they're with us. And it's really not that way, that they mm-hmm. fall in love in those spaces in between and that we actually need to create some absence in order for them to long for us.
Exactly.
Yep, it's hard for people to understand all that. It's really tough to, mm-hmm. to pull it off. And especially, you know.
Counter logic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially when you're with somebody that, you know, is always, you know, they're just more interested in what they have to say than anything you think or feel. It's
yeah.
just all about them. That's tough. Like Solomon said, you just say to them, wow, I'm so sorry the middle of my sentence interrupted the beginning of yours. And maybe that
no
help
way.
Them.
He says that.
Oh, my word.
He did say that. He said that to me this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
He said that to me this morning. I thought it was hilarious. That's my boy. I am so sorry the middle of my sentence. He said it to his sister. Sorry, the middle of my sentence interrupted the beginning of your.
That sounds like him.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Okay, let's He's talk right. with, how about we go over here and we talk with, Victoria, Juneau, Alaska, listens on the internet. Hi, Victoria, how are you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. How are you?
Sure. Well, I'm doing okay. How can we help you today? What's going on?
Well, I'll get right to my question. My question is, how do I help? I have four adult children and seven grandchildren, and it's my eldest daughter who she's my younger children call her sister mama.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them in differing ways do not accept my 11-year-old daughter, whom I've adopted since she was 20 months old. And when I say not accepted, it's they don't really make her feel a part of the family. They don't get excited when she's around, and she picks up on it. She even asked me, why doesn't my sister like me?
Well, what in the world has led to your children being without compassion or love for somebody that's 11 years old? Where did that come from? What happened to them?
Well, I'm a very compassionate and loving mother. In mm-hmm. fact, they've even told me, Mom, we knew that we could kind of run roughshod over you because you're just so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But that also led into, the only thing I can think of is I didn't make very good choices when it came to picking fathers. My eldest daughter is from a different relationship, and then I had I married and had three more children, and that's who she considers her nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
But that stepfather molested her, and that led to the breakup of our marriage and a lot of hurt from her. She refuses to talk about it. She's not forgiven him. And I was born again in 1991. I raised my children Catholic, and so they haven't really, gone through that born again
right.
phase.
What's the age gap between the 11-year-old and the youngest of your adult children?
20 years.
20 years. Okay. And then you have the seven grandkids. I wonder if somehow they, you know, here you have four kids and all these grandkids, and yet you still adopted a child. This isn't a child that they've grown up with. And I wonder if somehow they feel like they're not enough or they're being replaced in some way, and that there might be resentment. Because no matter how old you are, you're still a kid to your mom. You still have
right.
those kid feelings to your mom.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying maybe she could work on trying to help them feel like they are enough? Or
Well, I think that, there's some difficult feelings there that may be going on between them. And ask them how they felt when she adopted this child. Because it's not the child's fault, well, right? She's trying to bridge the gap.
More after this.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn, and one of the things that Jill has suggested to get these kids to be nice to an 11-year-old adopted child is to convince them, or for her to let them know, give them the message that they were enough, even though she adopted this child long after them. I was thinking maybe Google and try to find a book entitled How to Be a Half-Decent Person in This World for Someone Much Less Fortunate Than You, or a book entitled What Is Up With You?
She needs to have that conversation with her grown daughters, grown kids, saying, "What is up with you?
Yeah,
what is it that I'm missing here that our 11-year-old adopted sister is picking up from you in the terms of the resentments and the non-acceptance? What am I missing? Help me understand what you're feeling and how I've let you down by doing this."
Right. That's what I think she needs to or. You need to, Victoria, have some understanding of what your kids have gone through. What was it like for them for you to adopt a child? I mean, it's wonderful for the child. It may have been a wonderful thing for you, but somehow they have they have feelings about it, and they're showing it in their behavior. Mm-hmm. So you want to understand that.
I did have a conversation with them.
Okay. What'd they say?
Before I did it.
Yeah.
And
they say?
They said, "You're on your own, Mom."
Wow.
And they meant it, didn't they?
They did.
But it's time. It's past time for another conversation. Mm-hmm. Which it says, "My adopted daughter is feeling some real strong negative feelings from my biological daughters and children. Help me understand what's going on." Mm-hmm. I was trying to phrase that in a nice way.
Yeah.
Well, there's just no nice way to deal with this because they're not very nice. But here's the question. Are they believers at all?
Well, you said
they're not
Catholic.
Born again.
Not born again. Do they believe they read the Bible? They think that's true? Or
they don't read the Bible. They don't really practice.
Because, okay, I'm just kind of astounded here, and I'll try to put my personality aside, but it's really hard. So here's a thought. You say to them, you know, I was just reading this scripture that says, if you believe in me, but you hate your brother, it's not going to go well.
That's in 1 John 4.
If you were able to say, you know, I was just reading the scripture and I was thinking about how you guys are and how the 11-year-old said, you know, they don't like me and all this. And then I hit, boy, this scripture hit me. You guys are, you're kind of playing this verse out, and I want to help this not be true in your life. Is there anything I could do to get you away from this concept of kind of showing hatred to this child, something like that?
Yeah, I think before you get there, though, again, I'm going to go back to my point, is I think you really have to understand their experience without defending the 11-year-old. Mm-hmm. I think you have to hear, because of the seven grandchildren, are they anywhere near the age of the 11-year-old? Because
she's right in the middle of them.
Right.
And the eldest one is teaching them to call her their cousin and not their aunt.
Well, right, because they're all the same age. So that could make sense. But how is it being played out? So some of your kids may have feelings about how she mixes in with their kids, or what she takes away, because in some ways it's like you've adopted a grandchild. And so that may take away from their children. So there can be a lot of competitive feelings in families, and I think you have to get at that to truly understand what's going on and then to be able to make things better. Then you can appeal. Once you understand them, you can appeal to their compassion. And that, you know, this is a little girl that you were helping that needed a family, and it wasn't her choice. And now she is a part of the family. And to ostracize her or to teach their children to do that is truly unkind. And it doesn't do well for their children to treat people that way.
You know,
in an era of tolerance, come on, you guys.
Really?
Right?
We have that conversation about 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they told me that it was because I the wrong choices I made in men, and they said you always move too quickly with your relationships and expect us to deal with it, is basically what came out of that conversation. And I said, okay, but this is a little different, because this is a little girl, it's not a man. Mm-hmm. And they go, we get that, but we still feel the way we feel. And
That requires more conversations. I mean, if you you talk to him, you know, 9.5 years ago, you talk to him 3 years ago, and you probably talk to him at other times. But I think that you need to have regular conversations with them in terms of how they're doing with it, and how their kids are doing with it, and show concern about those things, because that's going to help defuse the situation, I think.
Right, and I think that you can own that you do that. You can own that, and then you ask them if they can forgive you. You ask them for forgiveness, okay?
Yeah.
And that now we're here now. How can we move forward? Because you can't change. You can't unadopt an 11-year-old.
Well, you can't unadopt anybody.
No,
it's the
you
law.
Can't. Right. but what I'm saying is you're here now, you know. Ask them if they feel like you truly understand their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, are they willing to forgive you and to help you move on?
Okay.
All right. I'm glad you called. I think, how does she? Okay. I'll send you How We Love.
That's what I was going to suggest.
And maybe that'll give you some insight into where they are, how they feel, or how they got to be the way they are, and then, you know, maybe there's something in there that you can pass on to them. I don't know, but
or How We Love Our Kids.
Yeah, send both of those. That's rough. Yeah. Every adopted child, I'm sure, but it just seems like they have this abandonment wound they have to deal with one way or the other.
Oh, it's a primal wound. Yeah.
And it's dealt with very well in most cases because of love that they feel in the new family. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. What a horrible response. And so, man, I just hope there's a breakthrough here. So let's pray for that little girl. Let's pray for those kids and pray for this mother. Really glad that you called. Now, I want to remind everybody that we have a need for help, and we've got a great way to say thank you. It's a really special way, and in this gift of any amount, Henry Cloud has done two teachings that I think everybody can benefit from: getting back up and embracing the negative. If he did a CD on being really mean to an 11-year-old, I'd send that to. But anyway, he did these two: embracing the negative and getting back up. It's our way of saying thank you. We'll send that CD to you, a gift of any amount. Please help us if you possibly can. We need it. We're here to help transform lives. We believe in the power of God in a person's life and redemptive relationships, and it can all lead to transformation. I did a sermon on that recently. You can go to northviewchurch.us and tune in and hear that. It's really all about the truth can set us free. Every Man's Battle, October the 6th. Jill, did I say something funny?
The books fell over on our shelf.
No, that's horrible.
You said something earth-shattering.
It was. It must have been. You guys having an earthquake there?
I hope not.
I don't think so.
Given the way the weather patterns are going, I'm looking for locusts any moment. So it's important that you help us and let us help you. You know, Club New Life's a great way to do it. Every month, $30, that's it. And we send you this Take Your Life Back day-by-day devotional and a New Life cross to go with it. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number, 1-800-NEWLIFE. And let us help you. And don't forget, I mentioned it at the beginning, the Life Recovery Program. You can be part of that. You can start a group. Ask for Reba at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Okay, let's go to Cammie from Monroe. Well, here comes the music. Listens on the internet. I'll say hi to her. Cammie, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, just hold on, and we're going to go to this break. We'll come back. We'll take your phone call. Really glad that you called us. You're listening to New Life Live. 1,500 or so counselors across the country that might be able to change everything for you. All you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll find somebody in your area that we think could best help you. We love you. We care about you. And really, there's no reason to stay stuck in pain or shame, fear. Just get some help. Let us help you. We've been doing it for 30 years, almost 30 years. It's amazing. We want to help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. We are talking now with Cammy, Monroe, New York. Hi, Cammy. How could we help you today?
Hi. The question I have is it reasonable to require a child to be respectful to an adult who is verbally and emotionally abusive?
What adult is it, and what are they doing to be abusive?
Well, it's her grandmother, and sometimes it's me because I'm dealing with my issues from childhood. But like yelling, and it's a lot of things. This morning, my daughter said to me, she notices how my mother, which is her grandma, treats my mother's younger grandchild better than she treats my daughter. So my daughter's mm-hmm. making this observation. And just okay. a lot of complaints. She'll say things like, when my daughter wants to use the paintbrush to do her art stuff for herself, my mother would say, no, you're wasting the paper. Don't use the paper. My daughter loves slime, and my mom will always disrespect the fact that my daughter loves slime. She basically disses it, and she'll be very verbal about that. And just she doesn't talk to her like she loves her. She talks to her like she's a bother and things of that nature.
Okay, and your question is, should you require her to be respectful? The answer to that is that...
How do I do that?
The answer is for her to be respectful, but to not ever respect what is being done or said. So you have to be respectfully rejecting of the behavior, which means that the 11-year-old is told that's not right. Now, at 11, it's not your job to teach. It's not your job to correct. But you have the right to say that hurts my feelings when you do that. That's not being disrespectful to share how it makes you feel. It's not disrespectful to say, I really wish that you would see how much I love to create and how much I love to do things, and you might change your mind about the things that you approve of and not. Jill, Dave, what are your thoughts about disrespectful behavior or just negative behavior, critical behavior, to another 11-year-old here?
Well, I'd be concerned in that the respectfulness could become acceptance of the behavior and the right. belief that it's normal for me to be abused and disrespected. Mm-hmm. I think that she can respond in a respectful way by withdrawing from the situation,
mm-hmm.
but not to act respectful to a person that is abusing her.
Don't be disrespectful, but don't respect her either. It's kind of
yeah,
that.
Well, and yeah, so to kind of add to that, it's like bad behavior. You know, when you don't address bad behavior with other bad behavior, right?
That's a good principle that she's got
right?
to learn.
So she can be a respectful person because that's right for your daughter. But I like the idea of empowering your daughter to say, you know, Grandma, that hurts me when you say those things or when you talk like that to me.
Grandma may think that's disrespectful, but that's all right. It's not.
Yes, Grandma thinks that's disrespectful, and Grandma disregards it when she tries to say that's disrespectful. But I like Stoop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She liked what you said.
What he recommended, because my daughter had asked. She says she wants, when she comes home, she just wants to stay in the room and not come out.
Yeah.
And so I like that with
yeah,
Roy,
she doesn't have to engage.
I know she feels like she's being attacked.
And what do you what do you say to your mother when she's mean to your 11-year-old?
I've attempted to confront her about it in the past, but she denies it, and she'll say what she said. If I say, "Well, Heidi says you said that," she will say, "I didn't say that," or she'll say, "I said it," but she'll repeat it to me in a way that sounds very civil.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. I don't think you should have don't have conversations with her about it. Just tell her, Mother, when you tell her you don't want her to use the paper because it's a waste of paper, that's very hurtful to her. And I don't think it's appropriate because it isn't a waste of paper. She needs to use that to be creative in that way. I wouldn't even listen to what her response would be, but every time your daughter hears you take up for her, it helps her. Secondly, every time you repeat the behavior of your mother, because she taught it to you so well, your job is to go back and make it right. Repair it with your daughter. Honey, I am so sorry that I did that. I hope you can forgive me. I'm working on this because I see what it's like for you when my mother says these things. Mm-hmm. Please forgive me. I'm working on it. And then be sure that you're working on it.
Right. So give your daughter the right to be able to speak up to you and to say things, you know, in a respectful way. And then you take note. Like, you guys could even come up with something, even if it's, you know, Mom, you're doing it again.
Yeah,
especially when you're present when it happens.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think it's really great that you're telling me it's okay to like take up for my daughter in the presence of my daughter and my mom.
Definitely,
especially
when you see something that's unacceptable.
Right.
You comment on it.
You must do that because it.
Okay.
If you don't, you're saying to your daughter that it's more important that I allow you to be abused or mistreated than for me to risk my relationship with my mother, which is a pretty crummy relationship anyway.
It's also giving the little girl and you a voice as well, Cammy. Okay, so your daughter is helping you to also stand up to your mom. And you can even let your mom know, Mom, you may not realize how you're coming across, but I remember feeling the same way when I was young. And it's hurtful.
No enabling evil in the home, even when it comes from one of your parents. Boy, that can be so confusing to a little girl. We're just about out of time. Let me just give you a little passage of scripture here I love. It's right out of Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. You know, if you didn't have to have faith, if everything you believed in was what you saw, it wouldn't require faith. And so God asks us, come on, have faith. How do you have faith? You read His Word, you look at your life, you see that it's true, it builds your faith, especially when you see what people went through to live for Christ in the early days and the suffering and the struggle, and now people are doing it also. If you are struggling in your faith, you call us. Let us help you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you're struggling in your marriage, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to support a ministry that will help people at any level, wherever they are, to transform their lives, this is the one. When we were at our Take Your Life Back workshop, I was once again astounded about how deep the wounds are, how revealing people can be, sharing things they've never shared with any person in 40 years, carrying that burden alone. And they come to us, and they let us help them, and they're free. Help us do that. If you do, we'll send you the teaching from Henry Cloud. It's all about starting over, getting up, not letting the negative things in life destroy you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's our phone number. We'll help you. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Jill. Thanks to all of you. We love you. See you next time right here on New Life Live. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.